1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Then, folks, we're going to shift gear. Look at that verse number 6. Look at the first word. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, enlighten our eyes. Dear God, give us, Lord, awakeness, alertness. May we, Lord, give our full attention to the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. First five verses, Paul says some things. He talks about when he was there at Corinth. You understand, Paul went there. God led him there. He went there to win people to Christ. He took these new converts and began to establish them in the basics and the basic doctrines to ground them, to get them settled. And so he was dealing at that time with brand new Christians, baby Christians. He was dealing with those that were just starting to their Christian walk. And so, you know, he fed them a lot of milk. He wanted them getting grounded on the basics, and that's certainly good and right and proper that we do so. But then the only problem is we find out here's a church that just kind of got stuck there. Matter of fact, if you go over to chapter number 3, if just peek over there, turn the page and see in verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now that's an issue. And folks, brand new Christians, hey, can I say this? And you do a good job, church, but let's love them. Hey, let's take them right wherever they are. I mean, folks, the average person that's being saved off the street, you know what? They come in with all kinds of misconceptions and baggage and you know what? We don't, after they're here and saved for 2 weeks, we don't hand them a handbook. I try to remind people from time to time, this is a church, local church. It's not a Bible college. You can't give them demerits. You know what it is? You take people where they are and you begin to grow them. And, you know, that takes milk. Babies need milk. And so there was nothing wrong with Paul's original approach. Look in verse number 1. And of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, we're going to talk about, first of all, how he came preaching, his style, how he did this. Look at verse number 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Chapter number 1, look back into verse 17. We referenced this a couple times. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, folks, when you're coming into a brand new, talk to these church planters. Talk to these guys that are coming in. And you know what? They've gathered 20, 30 people. Talk to Brother Reiser, started this church down in Princeton. You know what he's got? He's got, for the most part, a whole church full of first-generation Christians. And you know what? Paul said, listen, because of that, I didn't try to bring you a lot of complicated things. I kept the jelly on the bottom shelf. I wanted you to just get grounded. I wanted to make sure we taught the simplicities of Christ. And because of that, verse 2 of chapter 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ as him crucified. Now, sometimes a preacher will take that completely out of context and use that as an excuse to never preach on anything other than that. But he was referring back to, hey, you know what? If you want to get some folks saved and get them grounded and get them started, just preach Christ and him crucified. Preach that. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I mentioned back in verse 17, hey, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Preach the gospel. Listen, Christ sent me not to baptize, but preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. I mean, you know what he did? Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Let's get you saved. Let's get you baptized. Let's get you grounded in the basic doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good. But that's not all there is. And you know what? If you're going to go to the next level, something has to change inside of you. And I want to show you, because, you know, we're going to get to chapter 3. And, you know, the minute that you say the C word, you know, people put up a, you know, it's like they get defensive, you know. And, well, we're going to have to deal with carnality. And, well, that person's a carnal Christian. Well, you ever thought about what that even means? Or that person is a spiritual Christian. I want to kind of show you tonight what the process is and what the goal is and why it's so important that we continue growing in the Lord. And the growth in grace is first of all, being saved and being born to the family of God, but then to understand that we've got to get grounded in the basics. But those basics should help us to realign ourselves. I want to show you and illustrate it tonight, the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. And then you can evaluate where you're at. This is not taught so that I can condemn you if you're carnal. It's taught so that you'll have a way to fix yourself if you are. Did you hear what I said? Because I can't fix you and you can't fix me. If at least we know what carnality is, and we know what spirituality is, and we can see it and envision it and figure it out and say, hey, I can go from being a carnal Christian to a spiritual Christian. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because of the first word in verse number 6. Because you know what? You can learn the basics, get saved, learn the very basics, and get stuck there and basically be a baby Christian your whole life, a baby carnal Christian your whole life. And most Baptist churches, I'm sorry, around the country are full of them. And a pastor comes in and spends more time babysitting than he can, rallying the troops and creating an army atmosphere and an occupy till I come atmosphere, and let's do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that with babies. You know, Brother Gordon can come and he can get the young men in our youth group and he can organize them and teach them and really accomplish quite a bit, you know, on a work day around here. But if I told Brother Gordon, now listen, you know, what I want you to do is go back to nursery. And that's the crew I want you to use this Saturday, okay? Now you get back there and you organize them and you get them ready and you bring them with you and I want to see something done. Well, folks, come on now. That's a good illustration, though, because some preachers are they inherit churches, take churches, and you know what they figure out pretty quick? Man alive, you know, this is the nursery. Come on now. You say, preacher, well, how do I know where I'm at? I want to show you this, because if we don't understand ourselves, then we can't fix ourselves. Okay, I've used this illustration, but if my dishwasher goes down tomorrow and it quits working, folks, let me tell you something. I'm calling Rash Hardware. You know why? Because I know nothing about dishwashers. I could probably get a hammer and a screwdriver and a crowbar and get the thing out in the middle of the floor. All right, if I worked at it hard, maybe a stick of dynamite, and I get it out in the middle of the floor. I could walk around and I could kick at it and I could take the back off of it and I could stare at it. And I will never figure out why that thing's not working. You know, watch this. Here's the reason. You know why? Because I don't know the parts and I don't know what the parts do. Now, let me tell you how you grow in grace. You have to learn the parts. And you got to learn what each one does. Now, folks, I'm going to show you the process and the project that my lifelong project, which is, first and foremost, Jerry Ross. And what I have to work on every day of my life to maintain spirituality. If you're thinking spirituality is just going to happen by accident, it doesn't happen by accident. It's not caught by osmosis. At some point, you have to learn the basic doctrines of Christ and then know how to order yourself. Let me use you first three guys here, okay, if I can use you. Now, We are a triune creature made in the image of God. We've taught this, but let's review it. It's good. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, he looked down and said, let us make God in our image. And so he reached down from the dust of the earth and he formed it with his hands. And think about this. God's lips touched that clay and breathed into them the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we have, first of all, the body that's formed. Well, let's do it this way because I want to go this direction. He was given a soul, and he was warned about eating the fruit that was forbidden because he said, in the day that you eat it, you'll surely die. Well, we know that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they didn't die physically. And by the way, the soul will never die. It's an ever-living thing. It's going to live somewhere forever. Okay? But what happened in the Garden of Eden is that when man sinned, the spirit of man died. And you still have a spirit. When you're born, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit. The problem is your spirit's dead. And that's what the whole conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus was all about. You must be born again. That which is born of the capital S spirit is small s spirit. So this is somebody that comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is somebody that's never been saved. This is all of us, by the way. Come on now, at one point. Nobody here is born saved. But at some point in time, this man, remember, this is one person, hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit begins his conviction process and brings that man to conviction and concern over his soul. And then the Holy Spirit helps him through the preaching of the Bible to understand the gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. And you know what? That man decides, I want Jesus. I want to accept that gift of eternal life. I'm putting my faith in the finished work of Christ. And with a heart full of belief, he cries out for salvation. And now watch this. This is interesting. How many have you come up here, okay? The work of the rebirth is done by the Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit enters into that man. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he rebirths this man's spirit. And now this man, this is one man. Okay, this happened in you. This man is now a child of God. This man is a babe in Christ. But let me tell you what. It doesn't mean, let me have you all turn this way. And then turn your paper so they can kind of see it, okay? But this is the order. This is what a new baby looks like, baby Christian. The Holy Spirit's come in, but they probably don't even know about the work of the Holy Spirit of God. They've got to learn that by coming to church. They've got a newborn spirit. They probably don't even know and understand that yet. They just know I was under conviction and they don't know that they're a triune being. Most of them, it may be 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or in the middle of a discipleship program that they're introduced to the idea of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What happened the day they got saved? And you know what? This old guy here has been leading the band for a long time. And he doesn't stop leading the band just because he got saved. Now, he's got a reborn spirit. By the way, he's got the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, listen to me. This is the Corinthian church. This is what Paul, by the way, this is normal when you first get saved. This is normal as you're learning the basics. But what's the difference between a carnal or a baby Christian and a spiritual Christian? You're thinking that? Carnal means what? It means, no, it doesn't. Carnal means what? Fleshly. Okay? Sometimes we think carnal, we think carnality, we think worldliness. Someone calls you a carnal Christian, well, they said I was worldly. No. All that it means, this is why we need to just relax, get the chip off our shoulder. You know, if you're carnal, you ought to just say, hey, I'm carnal, because then you can start getting help. Well, what does that mean, preacher? What's that mean? This is still in charge. I mean, this guy here is driving the train. All right. And this thing doesn't really want to give up. You know, now I want to show you something because it's so neat. Now I want you to think about it. All right, are you there? You following me so far? Now let's look back at verse number 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him what? Why did he focus on that? Why is it that he said, I just want to teach you about Christ? And I think that all of the doctrines of Christ, well, I think that's the beginning place, folks. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. And if it's not, I've challenged people for, 40 years of 35 years of preaching. If that's not what it's about, come tell me what it's about. Because I think the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus. So we learn the doctrines of Christ because that's who we need to study, know about. And the whole church and the job of a pastor and the evangelist, go back and read that section is so that we can come into the fullness of his stature. So we want this guy, remember this is one person, we want him to be like Jesus, okay? Jesus wasn't run by his physical body. So we learn about Christ, and then it says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, the doctrines of Christ, and I'm going to focus on also one other thing, the crucifixion. Why? You help me. Why? Because which one of these rascals needs to be crucified? And until he is, we're not getting this thing reordered and rearranged. And you can go to heaven like this. You can spend 40 years sitting in a church like this. And you know what? You'll understand the first 5 verses. You'll understand the basics. I'll be able to help you some. You'll grow to a certain point. But you'll never get past how be it. Because the rest of this chapter is talking about the deep things of God, the mysteries, all that the Bible contains. That cannot be learned by the natural man, and it cannot be received by a carnal Christian. Now that means if you just say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm glad, but the honest truth is, I just like the things of this world, and I just like feeding my flesh, and if this gets me to heaven, I'm satisfied. You will never really ever get past understanding some very elementary things about Christianity. You won't. Because everything past verse 6 when it's talking about, but we speak, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means what? Complete, mature, spiritual. What's he say in chapter 3, verse number 1? And I, brother, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto as unto babes. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now, for ye are yet carnal. He's like, listen, if I, there's preachers that, that have to, they take a church and they have to spend 3 years just walking in with bottles, trying to get the basics and get them to decide to crucify this. Because this is where the battle is. Young people, are you getting it? What's the difference? Why some kids grow up and boy, they just go on. Why some kids love to get in the Bible and some of them, the parents have to put them at the dining room table and hold a gun to their head to get them to do more. You know what? Because this guy don't like reading the Bible. The flesh don't like praying. Flesh don't want to go soul winning. Okay? Flesh doesn't like standards and rules. Flesh doesn't like modesty. Okay, so as long as this guy's in, hey, saved. But you're only going to be able to use or take this person so far. And I can't crucify your flesh and you can't crucify mine. Listen, I'll teach this tonight, folks. And then you know what I'll do? I'll go home and battle this guy and you're going to have to go home and battle you. Because you've got to make the decision how you're going to live your Christian life. By the way, aren't you glad God made us with a free will? People say, wouldn't you like to just have a whole church full of robots? No. And God wouldn't want it either. You know why? Because God wants people that choose him. And God wants people that has a heart that wants to be all they can be for him. He didn't want to have to make us do anything. Now, we may stay this way out of ignorance. Why? You say, preacher, there's other churches that do not stand where we stand, have the standards we have, that still see people saved. And you know what I'll say the first one to say, hey, man, I'll lie, let me tell you something. God will use, we got saved, I was talking to somebody about this. Our entire family got saved in a little country church north of Brazil, Indiana. By the way, you folks have never heard me say anything, but thank God for the Rock Run Baptist Church. Thank God for Elmer Evans. But I'm going to tell you something. If I could transport the whole bunch of you back there to that time in 1966 and you walked in there knowing what you know now, you'd say, I couldn't join here. But God used that man to get us to Christ because he preached the gospel. God wants sinners saved so bad. He'll use sometimes some places that we wouldn't be able to attend, but hey, if they'll see somebody saved every once in a while just because they preach the gospel. Hey, I'm rooting for them. But the problem is the Christians that stay in that church, that they never go any farther. Okay? And that's why I think God moved us from Rock Run to Trinity, from Trinity then to Providence, and then from Providence then as Dad grew and learned and got into the deep things of God and began to feed that people, that group. Some of them started choking on the meat and didn't want it, and some of them said, grill us some more. And therefore was birthed the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And folks, this ought to be, and it historically has been a place where, listen, Sunday morning, come on in on Sunday morning. For the most part, if you'll listen, your preacher, we've got visitors, we've got a lot of new converts. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to get the basics, you're going to get milk, you're going to get help, you're going to get encouragement. And then you know what we say? Hey, y'all start coming Sunday night. And y'all start coming Wednesday night. I mean, folks, Wednesday night Bible study, this is where we break out the smoker and the barbecue, and man, I like the smell of meat grilling. Some churches, for the last 40 years, you've never stood outside and smelled meat grilling. You know why? Maybe the pastor's too chicken to grill the meat, or maybe he just honestly doesn't have people that can take it. So here's the issue. So say, preacher, what is the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual, and what's the goal? Now, stay with me. I got to kill this guy. I got to get him out of the driver's seat. So you know what? Paul's, you guys are excited about this. All right. No. But, you know, listen, remember when that spirit was dead? Paul said, I die daily. Yeah, brother, die. I get Jerry Ross where I work hard, and I get him about where I think. And this guy just don't want to stay dead. And something will happen, and next thing you know, I'm walking around upset about stuff and muttering about stuff and focused on stuff, and I'm acting like a baby. And by the way, it doesn't take me long to realize I'm broke. Come on. I'm 57. I got saved when I was 5 years old. Been saved for 52 years. Shame on me if I can't self-diagnose by now. And I want to share this with you because, again, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. But folks, listen to me. I don't mind if you're a new Christian, and I hope this doesn't come across wrong. I don't mind if you're a new Christian. I don't mind taking a lot of extra time with new Christians. Hey, come on, moms. You have to take those little, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 month old babies take a lot more of your time than they ought to take when they're 12. As far as you having to do every little thing, you know, that 3 month old baby is, now you don't throw the shoes and say, hey, put them on. But if your 12 year old sitting over in the corner going, I need help, they probably need a spanking. Do you know a good preacher kind of works himself out of a job? Listen, if every time something goes wrong in your life, your first reaction is, oh my goodness, I got to call the preacher. By the way, that would have been Bob and Donna Ross back in 1966 and 67. They were brand new babies. They didn't know how to handle things. But if they're still doing that 20 years down the road, you see, folks, I'm not trying to create a dependency upon me. I'm trying to teach you to have a dependency upon God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't need for my ego 40 people waiting outside my door for counseling every Sunday night. Matter of fact, wait all you want. I'm going to be home eating pizza, okay? What we need to do in our churches is, come on, we need to stop being carnal and instead realize, okay, these same parts are in me. Now, who's driving the bus? So the whole goal is to crucify the flesh and bring him all the way back here, because he should be all the way in the back. He should be the caboose instead of the engine driving the train. Now, he's going to keep trying to sneak up. But then what we want to happen is, hey, why don't we put him in the front of the line? What do you think about that? Now, by the way, he can't communicate here, but he can communicate with the reborn spirit. That's why the Bible says they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit communicates to your spirit and through your spirit. Okay? He's trying to do it from the back of the line, but that didn't work too well. You know, when we get to start talking about spirituality, now think about it. What is spirituality? Why do we say carnality, which means flesh, or spirituality? You know, I couldn't teach you some of these things because you're carnal. And we all go, oh. And, you know, preacher called me carnal. And we go home and prove we're carnal by quit going to church, you know. It's not a name to call. It's an evaluation to make. Who's driving? You know why this man is now spiritual, holy? Got it? This is what you need to achieve. Now, I'm going to complicate it a little bit. I've taught you this, but Brother Levi, I need you. And maybe I can get Brother Nathan. He did wear a tie. I'll bring him up here. And Josh, yes, yes, yes. Now, I'm going to see if I can back you all the way up here, because I want you as far back as possible, okay? Now, we are body, soul, and spirit. We're trying God. But what did I teach you about the soul? Back up here just a minute. And I want you to kind of stand here and hold up soul like this, okay? Soul is also a trinity. Your soul is also a trinity. It's also a triune being. And it is, all right, sure. Here you go, Brother Nathan, if you'll stand right here behind him. Your mind, and then your heart, and then your will. And this guy is not where he wants to be. I'm going to tell you something right now. I mean, the Bible is so bold to say, in your flesh is no good thing. Okay, if you want to argue with the Bible, then go home and argue with the Bible, but don't be waiting for me back there. He said, no good thing. And yet, this guy will fight you until you drop that body. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you become a spiritual Christian, you fought this thing for years, death don't seem so bad. I'm not saying you got a death wish, but when you have fought this rascal and when you realize there's going to come a day when you drop that thing and leave it and they bury it, and you wake up in the presence of God for the first time in your entire existence, not having to every minute practical of every day fight this rascal, I think that's part of what's going to make it heaven. All right. So you've got the soul here, though. And again, remember I've talked about this. The soul, folks, starts with the mind. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to grow and strengthen our spirit so that we start becoming spiritually minded. And that's very important. Because if you've got your will running the soul or your emotions running the soul, folks, this is how it's supposed to happen. As we are fed and as we learn the Bible, as we get into those how be it principles, the deeper things of God, and the Spirit then takes those things and teaches our mind. And this is what we think and begins to change how we think. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Kill it! Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, reasonable service. Put that thing on the altar and kill that puppy, all right? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your... So now the Holy Spirit, he communicates with your spirit. Your spirit begins to influence your mind. Because you have a spiritual mind, this is where our thoughts are. Your mind affects your emotions. How you think, what you think about, determines how you feel. I just feel this about this. I can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. You absolutely can change the way you feel. You feel the way you feel about something because you're thinking about it that way. If you change your thinking, you change your emotions. Let me tell you, folks, if we think right about something, we'll feel right. And if we think and feel right about something, we'll probably make the right decision about it. Now, I want to show you this because I hope that you'll just freeze this in your mind. Because this is you and me. This is one person. Remember this. This is the entire battle. Okay? When I get this lined out like it is right now, things are good. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. God shows me things that I've never seen before in the Bible. God can lead me in a way that he can't when I'm not like this. I see more divine appointments. My Bible's more fun. My prayer life's exciting. And you know what? The only person that can get you in this order, you go ahead and change. Go to 15 different churches. Just keep hopping churches. But the church isn't the problem. Okay? The problem is you've got to be honest. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me you've never spent one day in your Christian life carnal? I have. And you know what? When I was young in the Lord, I didn't know how to fix things. I get frustrated. I think, you know, why am I like this? And why do I want, I come out of this meeting, I want to do right. And then 3 days later, and I realized that for those 3 days, you know what I did? Watch TV. You know, listen, you're trying to teach, come on now. We're trying to get this lined out with the video game American Idol generation. And they walk around with their technology. They feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. They sit down with entertainment, feed the flesh. They turn on the radio, feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. Guess what? You're turning that one into a monster. And you know what? He's going to get so strong, he's going to march right back up at the front, and he's going to quench the spirit and grieve the spirit of God. Next thing you know, the spirit of God is back here, and he's trying to steer from the back, and you can't do it. The spirit then suffers, and then you get your will in front, being run by your emotion and your mind back here. I promise you, every bad day you've ever had and every dumb thing you've ever done, if you'd put it under the microscope, it's because this was out of whack. And that's true of Jerry Ross too. Okay, I'm down here with you for a minute because I always say this, you know what? Some things we teach, most things we teach, no difference from the pulpit and the pew. We're going to fight the same things. So here we are. And I want you to picture that. I want you to get that. Why do we talk about the fullness of the Spirit? Preacher, sometimes I think you're Pentecostal. I'm not. I think you're charismatic. I'm not going to let a bunch of crazies steal the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God from us. Folks, listen to me. Think about it. There's a member of the everlasting Almighty God, a member of the triune God living inside of you and me right now. You get up tomorrow morning, you know what he wants to do? He wants to tutor you. He wants to become your prayer partner. He wants to guide you to divine appointments. He wants to comfort you in those areas where you're hurting and have heartache. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Think about that. He's got this great ministry that he's going to convict. Yeah, come on, this is the part we don't like and this is why we quit. But if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or think the wrong thing, he's going to be on your case about it. Okay, and he should be. I mean, he's doing, that's a good thing. Okay? And so he wants to lead this thing. Now, I just want you to ask the question. Let me have you take a couple steps forward here, okay? All right, I'm going to separate him for a minute, all right? Here's the choices to lead your life. Him or any of these. And yet so many people will fight, they'll fight the preacher and fight the word of God and leave a church because I dare say something about the fact that their flesh is running their life. I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm saying it to help you. Okay, but if I watch you keep making silly, fleshly, carnal, worldly decisions, that's the most important thing. Come on, I asked the other day, what gets you excited? What gets you excited? You know what gets me excited? Stay with me. Depends on my order. You know what gets you excited? Depends on the order. Okay? You got to understand this, because this whole teaching, from now on, we're going to go forward and we're going to talk the rest of this chapter. I'm done for tonight. But we're going to talk the rest of the chapter. And we're going to talk about the difference between the first five verses where he came in. And he came in, he came in meekness and fear and trembling. And I don't understand, preacher, why you're so bold. And, well, that's because he came in and he was dealing with babies and new converts. But you know what? Read on, my friend. He's not tiptoeing through the tulips anymore. It's okay. And you should be patient. Watch this. With baby Christians. Excuse me. You've been saved for 10 years. And your flesh is still running the show. And you're in a church like this that's taught this same thing. Come on. How many of you have seen this same thing? How many times? After a while, you don't need to be coddled. You need to be rebuked. Hey, you know what? There's so much that needs to be done for the cause of Christ. There's so much in this book for you to learn. There's so many people that need a spiritual influence. You know what? We talk about getting our act together. Some of us need to get our act together. It's time to start letting the Holy Spirit of God run the show. Amen. Amen. We all know it. Come on, we all know it. But why do we fight it? I said we. Why do we fight it sometimes? You know, why is the Holy Spirit dealing with something? We'll kick up a fit and get mad. And, you know, this is the order. And he's going to say, listen, first five verses, if you don't get this thing turned around, you can still be saved. You can still go a certain distance. But all these howbeit principles that's going to follow, and all the problems that was happening in this church was because the average member of the Church of Corinth was carnal. And you know what Paul did? He came around and said, hey, guys, before we can get this church fixed, we got to get each of us fixed. All right, let's bow our heads and thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You can just lay those things right here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us. This is Holy Spirit. This is where we need your help. And David and that man after God's own heart knelt before the God of the universe and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. This isn't just an evaluation that needs to happen one time just tonight on a Wednesday night. And I think the honest truth is, I'm not sure, Lord, but we can begin the process with a trip to an altar, and that's always good, because maybe the first step is just being tender enough to the Holy Spirit to respond to an invitation. But the honest truth is, 30 seconds, 2 minutes at an altar, we have to take more time. We have to take this more seriously. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, with your help, please. The heart's deceitfully wicked above all. Who can know it? And boy, we'll try to talk ourselves into the fact that we're spiritual when we're not. The old pride of man gets in the way. The old flesh gets in the way. But I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be able to just spend the rest of this week, Lord, just kind of focused on this and say, God, you know, where am I? Holy Spirit, really show me where I'm at. And Lord, help me to get some of these things moved around. Help me to learn the process of crucifying the flesh and what that really means. Help me to learn what it means to be surrendered to the Spirit of God and his leading in my life. Lord, help me to be, help me to let my mind feast on the scriptures. Help me to build myself spiritually. Ramp up the spiritual food so my spirit is strong. Cut off the flesh food. Lord, there's a lot we'll continue on with, but Lord, help us just have kind of an understanding of the parts tonight so we have somewhere to begin. We pray these things in Jesus' name.